Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. Hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful week. Staying safe out there, but staying active at the same time. You can't sit around at home and just don't do nothing. You got to have a good time, too. You got to enjoy life. You know, you have to enjoy life. Matter of fact, we're going to have to do a topic on that at some point. You have to enjoy life and not just sit around, don't do nothing. You got to stay active. You got to meet people. You got to network. God's put us here for that. You have to communicate with people, but be safe, too. But besides that, October 4th today, and it's a beautiful, beautiful time in the world. We have to keep moving, keep prayer up, and, you know, make sure to keep prayers out going to the individuals here on the west side of Florida. The hurricane was rough over that way, and just around the world, too, just going with the war. And at the same time, too, guys, I have to say this, too, and I think I'm going to touch on this probably next week about Tua, the quarterback here at the Dolphins, Miami Dolphins. He, you know, suffered a really, really hard concussion, and I think at first hand, a lot of people can see what they mean about concussion, right? And a lot of guys have been preaching for that concussion, been going through for quite some time. And just basically your thoughts on it, you know. So I'm not going to get too far in it right now because of a show to do tonight, but I'm going to get into that and just give you some thoughts about what you guys think about the back-to-back concussions that he received. And just prayers go out to him and everyone that's in need and that's suffering. Yes. So let's rock and roll. I have some notes. Let me go to the show about some notes we had before. So basically the topic is tradition part two. And basically we're going to talk about that because the fact is there were some statements made by Deion Sanders. And this was actually a couple of weeks ago when my home university, Grambling State University, okay, is in my hometown, like 30 minutes away. My home school, Grambling University, played against Jackson State. And during the press conference, Coach Sanders, he mentioned about basically saying that he said Jackson State turnout was phenomenal. Sanders said, and he said the Grambling turnout was pathetic. That's what he said. He said Grambling turnout was pathetic. Sanders continued to explain his issue. He always talking, we got y'all. And we're for the culture. Where they're at, you know? Sanders asked, you know, rhetorically. Then when we get up by two touchdowns, he said they're running for the cars. He said that's what I mean about the tradition mess. Tradition, tradition. What's tradition, right? When a team gets up on you, you leave. He said when we got up on Miami, I mean, bam, he said the band left, and that's not tradition. That's front runners. That's what got to change. So that was Deion Sanders' statement, okay? He made that statement. But he made that statement not knowing. I will say this. He made that statement, and he was real upset. And I think a lot of it, too, is that when he made that statement, understanding the HBCU. And we're going to get into that and give some things about that, too. But if you want to call in and listen to the show, live participant for the show. You can call in live at 563-999-3665. 563-999-3665. So we talked about that, basically the part of the football team, the HBCU football. We mentioned and we talked about that. Really got into it. It was really great show, I think. I got a lot of comments back from it, but positive comments back from it. So I can't complain with that. But let me give you a Bible verse. I gave you the same one I gave you last time. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:5, 21st verse. It said, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that is good. Again, it says, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that is good. Okay. Now, I'm going to go to give you guys a, if you don't know about the HBCU or the history of what it is and what it means, it's a college or university that originally founded to educate students of African American descent. That's what HBCU stands for. And, of course, I went to Grambling University. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you've never been to HBCU, football game / band, the combination, I advise you guys, please go and just check the show out. It is a show. Let me give you some band history, because when Deion Sanders made this comment, he talked about FAMU, of course, Jackson State. That's where he's at right now. He's coaching Jackson State. And then also, too, he mentioned Grambling State University. Let me give you some history about Florida A&M. Okay. About the band, although the first band of instruments, what would later become known as Florida A&M, was organized in 1892. Okay, that's going way back there, right? Okay, the first marching band is believed to have been organized in 1910 by Nathaniel C. Alderley, the uncle of fine jazz musicians. They call him Nat, and Cannonball Alderley. The Marching 100 is the official name of the marching band to Florida Agricultural Mechanical University in Tallahassee, Florida. FAMU. F-A-M-U. That's FAMU, guys. Now I'm going to go to Jackson State. Jackson State band. The university is also the home of the Sonic Boom of the South. Marching band founded in 1940s. They accompany dance line, the Prancing Jay Setters, okay? And well known for their unique style of dance known as Jay Setting. Okay, all right. All right, so now let's go over here to Grambling State University. GSU, first of all, let me say something. Well, I'm reading off of this. It's like bringing memories back, right? It's making me smile and laugh about this, because I remember this Sonic Boom. Let me tell you something. Just going down there to Jackson State and watching those guys just march. You know, you were Grambling too, but it's good, just the variety, right? And then you go to FAMU. I still remember FAMU about their trumpets. I mean, those tubas. I'm sorry, the tubas. My bad. I'm sorry, guys, who banned them. I'm sorry if I messed it up with the tubas. It was amazing. I mean, it was like tons of them, but it's nothing like each band. I just get my hats off and I give the fullest appreciation of their hard work, but we'll talk about that in the show. Now, again, back to GSU, Tiger Marching Band, also known as the Tiger Marching Band, is Grambling State University Marching Band. It is often billed as the world-famed Tiger Marching Band. The band was founded by Ralph Waldo Emerson Jones in 1926. Do you know the GSU band was invited to perform at the inauguration of Liberal President William Tolbert? The Grambling College Marching Band fascinated African audiences for 10 days with performances at more than 14 functions and before dignitaries from 74 countries. Now, that's tradition and history. Now, I wonder if we're keeping that same tradition now in a positive way, or we're keeping that, or we're using that tradition, or we're not following the tradition and using it in a bad way, right? Okay, now check this out. I read a little history here, and I found out that the first organized band, in a sense, let me make this right now. I'm just reading history. If I have some wrong, you guys can leave your comments below. We'll make sure we get it right the next time. However, the Tuskegee Normal School, okay, that was in 1890, founded HBC Marching Band, is Dr. William P. Foster, June 1st, 1946, with the creation of the Marching 100 at Florida A&M College University. So it goes back to Florida A&M. So FAM, that Coach Prime, in a sense, they call Coach Prime, Coach Prime had mentioned, kind of fell into some really, really deep history when he mentioned about Jackson State. I mean, Jackson State, but Florida A&M. And I would like to say this, too. I said that when you're dealing with that type of history, tradition, there are some things that maybe can be changed. But when you have, like, what they say, when it's, you know, when it's not broken, we're fixing it, right? You know, so I guess I'm saying that right. I'm a little bit all over the place tonight. But I would say just reading off just the history I've mentioned of these bands alone, and just going back to my college alone, right? Let's say my college, because that's why I was attending at Grambling. That history is so deep. And you have to keep that going, that tradition of what they were doing. And, you know, going to dignitaries and performing in front of the Center for Countries, you can't stop doing that today, because now people need entertainment more than ever these days. They need that, because there's so much negativity out there in the world right now. Everybody know it. You know, it's amazing how much in a day you have to deal with the little demons or some type of, just my mom used to say, some type of mess during the day right now. It just come to you. It comes to somebody else, or it comes from somewhere else. It's going to come someday, sometime during the day. And you have to just learn how to just brush it off, or just kind of like, you know what, I see it, I'm going to move away from it and keep going forward. I would like to say this too. I feel that for your parents out there, right, all your parents out there listening to the show, and even the youth, I like to say I feel that every male or female should be participating in some particular sport or for sure some type of band. That should be happening. When I was at my high school, we won the championship. And I was in 1987, graduated in 88. We won the championship, state championship. We had a band. That band kept us moving and forward and gave us the motivation that we needed. The band is crucial to this. Hold on 1 second, guys. 1 second. Thanks for calling the Stevenson Radio Show. Who's calling?
It's Deborah, your sister Gibson Westbrook.
Oh my gosh. Ms. Gibson. Hi.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, guys, let me tell you something. Ms. Gibson she came on last week, briefly came in, and we were talking about the football situation, about the Deion Sanders made, about tradition need to change. And I haven't even got to the point that Ms. Gibson about the reason why a lot of the band members left, and not just the fans left, right? And I think during that game, a lot of football players would try to leave too. But could you give us a brief history about who you are, what you do, and what you've accomplished? Because I like to say this, guys, this young lady here is the real deal. This lady here, she don't talk about it, but this lady, she was a producer in some shows that actually, you know, a lot of us watch growing up. So she don't talk about that part, but we'll leave that for another show. But go ahead, Ms. Gibson. Go ahead and let everyone know who you are, please. And thanks for coming on, too.
Okay.
By the way. Go ahead.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Can you hear me? Am I too close? Because last time I was too close to my phone.
Oh, you can, you know, you can back. Well, you sound all right. You good? You good? Go ahead.
Okay,
good?
I'm good. I just want to make sure you can hear me well. Well, okay, first of all, let me just say thank you for inviting me to the show.
Yes.
And I did talk about this last week, so I'll just make it brief. Stevie's mom was my fourth grade teacher, and I think at the time when she became my teacher, Stevie, she had to be pregnant with you. We were in the fourth grade, and your oldest brother Anthony was in the kindergarten. She's been pregnant with you, but so that's how long I've known this family for a long time. And your brother used to kick me and my cousin in the ankle. He was so bad. I just had to say that he was such a bad player. Anyway. I was captain all 4 years at Grambling. I was also a choreographer. My senior year, I was the student artistic director. They don't put that in the records, but I'm going to get that fixed. And
you're the choreographer. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm writing this down.
For the dance team, it's in the band dance team, the Arquises dance team, and I was the section leader. I was the choreographer and captain leader for the dance team my senior year. I started my freshman year really. So and after that, I've worked with MC Hammer, the Isley Brothers, Confunction, the Barquets, Earth, Wind and Fire. Just a lot of groups. Tony Cornelius from Soul Train and I went to high school together, so I worked with the Soul Train Music Awards, the American Music Awards, and blah, 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 blah,
wow.
blah. Anyway.
The good old days.
Yeah.
The good days.
Yes. And so we had talked about Dion. Like I said, Dion and I used to be church members. And his son, that's the quarterback, he was like Anthony. He was a bad player. Because I worked in the children and youth ministry, so I was with those kids a lot. Dion used to do a Tuesday night Bible study, and I was with the children ministry. So
that was good.
But
that
met
was
Dion.
Good. That was good.
I met Dion when I was with MC Hammer.
Okay. So what do you think about Dion? What do you think about what he said about?
I think his biggest problem is he hasn't been part of the HBCU family as a student. I mean, we came from babies to, you know what I'm saying? So it's been a life thing for us. His experience is now, you know, he's part of the HBCU now, but he hasn't really looked at the history because it's like I said, when you look at the history, Grambling has taken care of Jackson State. Grambling has, and if he had really, and when he looked at the history, I'm going to say that, when he really go back and look at the history of the HBCU, especially with Grambling, Jackson State, and FAMU, he's going to understand that Grambling and Jackson State, in reference to the bands and the football team, they've been like brothers fighting against each other. You know, game time, we brothers, but it's game time. So, history, you know, he doesn't.
Right.
So that's been the biggest problem with his comment. That was the biggest problem with his comment. I'm sorry about that. My alarm is going off. But so that's why he made his comment. He didn't want the campuses like we did.
But let me just say, you mentioned something just now. You said something about, you said Jackson State used to, we used to basically support Jackson State, we're the cause of Jackson. What do you mean by that? You said something about Jackson State. Let me see, you said something. Jackson State is because of us, in a sense, right? You're talking about Grambling. Like Grambling.
Grambling has taken care of Jackson State. Let me share some with
you.
Grambling has taken care of a lot of people. And Jackson State is one of them. Anytime Grambling play anybody, extra people are going to show up. I mean, there was a commentary about the Bayou Classic. They said the Bayou Classic brings in more people than the Saints games, the Super Bowl. That's because of Grambling State University, period. So anytime Grambling football team, as a matter of fact, this is going to be great. You could go look this up. I was watching this documentary about Alabama and USC, and USC, they said, oh, my God, when USC came and they had so many African-American players, they said the Alabama coach and team said, oh, my God, they went and got some of Eddie Robinson players from Grambling, and this is not right. The first time USC played Alabama, I was watching this documentary about when the African-Americans first were accepted in the white universities, in the SEC, mm-hmm. whatever they call them. But it was so funny. I was like,
right.
You just said, oh, my God, they went and got some of Grambling's players, but they didn't. They saw so many black faces that they thought, oh, they had to get them from Eddie Robinson. And they actually have this in their documentary.
Let me say this, though. And I think that there's a lot of sense to that. And we're going to bring that to another show because that's very interesting you said that. I'm writing that down.
Okay.
What I was going to say was this. As a football player, you know, I be focused on golf so much now, sometimes I forget I play football until we start talking about this until Super Bowl time, right? But I would say this, as a football player, former football player, the importance of the band at the HBCU was just it was almost, you know what, I'm not going to, let me stop there. I apologize for that. I'm going to come back to that. Could you explain to people with the HBCU what Deion Sanders, what he didn't understand, your thoughts, what he said, okay? He said that it was pathetic, the turnout's pathetic, and it was leaving the stands. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts, I could say this easily. He's stupid. I don't like calling people names. And I hate when people start calling names. I'm not a name caller.
Yeah.
What I will say is, his ignorance caused him to make that characterization of us. It's like, I didn't know that my cousins was there. It was like, man, it was so hot, people started going under the bleachers and stuff because it was hot. So he assumed that people were going. Well, some people were running to their cars to turn them on and get in the air conditioning and stuff. So he didn't even think about none of the fact is, first of all, Jackson State was a bad place for the game to be held. They should have changed it and had the game at Grambling because, again, like I said, Grambling has taken care of Jackson State. So they could have, but they wanted that money. So for him to say, oh, I read the article. It said, oh, they were pathetic. They were running to their cars. Well, my conclusion is, dude, first of all, some of those people that was running to their cars are band fans. They don't care who the football team is. They don't care who win or lose. When halftime is over, when the band is leaving, they're leaving because a lot of those people come with the band. They follow the band. And that's the history of the HBCU bands. The football team have their people to follow them, and the band have their people that follow them. But Deion thinks that everybody comes to the game follows the football team. No, they don't. They do not. We have a convoy of people follow us. When I say us, the band, because I was part of the band, the dance team was part of the band when I was there. So that convoy of people that come with us, if we leave, they're leaving too.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. We were laughing about the band have groupies. They think the football players are the only ones who have groupies. Y'all, funny. It used to be that the guys would be lined up waiting on the dancers to come, and the girls would be lined up waiting on the drum line to come. We were laughing about how the tuba players are the biggest guys. They're the largest. The tubas had groupies. Oh, my God. It's a group of women love them big boys. I mean, we think about it. They throw that tuba on their shoulder. Think about it.
At the end of the day, everyone needs love, right? So check this out. So
yes.
I would say this.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So I would say this. Another thing too, I think they're missing too. I really do feel that the game should have been in Grambling. They had a water situation there. The water situation, drinking water wasn't right. I think a lot
That's
of people
right.
drove down. I like to say this to guys who are listening to that. When you're dealing with HBCUs, now there are some people that may not want to come in, specifically, like I said, at that time. Let me say this. I'm not going to say that because I'm not going to say this. Okay. Let me say it this way. During that time with the drinking water, a lot of people didn't want to stay overnight in Mississippi. They just wanted to come in and leave. And when they found out the game and it was hot, they just wanted to get back home because they had a long trip. A lot of people drove down there and drove back the same. So that's like some from Grambling, like a 6-hour drive, right? With traffic, right?
Right.
So there and back, six hours or 5.5 hours. So you had a lot of that going on. And I think, too, a lot of times you're dealing with those universities versus the larger universities. I'm going to go ahead and say it. There, a lot of times there are some people can take off a couple more days off versus than others. So they can stay overnight if they want to stay overnight and stay a couple nights, right?
African Americans can't stay overnight. We can't stay overnight, and we have to get together and have 5 and 6 and sometimes 10 people in the car together and put our money together and put our gas together. I'll say it. Let me say it. So we can't afford hotels. And who wants to afford a hotel anyway to send you? Oh, you may be able to take a shower. You may not. You may be able to take a bath. You may not. I'm like, I'm sorry. As a woman. Women who do take baths and showers, we like to take showers and baths. And as hot as it was, who wants to be at that game and then you go back to a room and you can't shower?
Right.
And that was the situation for Jackson State. I mean, whenever we went to a game at Jackson State, we never stayed. I didn't even know Jackson had hotels. I'm like, Jackson had hotels? Really? We never stayed. We went early. We left Grambling early in the morning. We went to Jackson. We took after the game. We were back at Grambling.
Right, because we're not. Right. But see, those are the things, and I would say fortunate you have some coaches that's not from. I would say this: you have some coaches that's not from the HBCU that's coaching HBCU colleges. It's not the same as a coach from HBCU coaches at another college. It's totally different.
Right.
Because you have black guys playing with other guys, white guys, and all different nationalities of guys at a big university. But at the same time, we've had all different nationalities of guys, black, white, green, purple, yellow, stripe, all at the HBCUs too. A lot of people don't talk about that. And that's something we'll get into later too. But the thing is that I feel that understanding – HBCU, when you're dealing with HBCU players, HBCU period, it's a totally different way you have to approach things, okay? Firmness is definitely the key when you're dealing with that because it's not a laid-back job position. You don't lay back because you're always working. You're always having to give and check things out. So I would say that
you don't have time to relax because it obviously somewhere I don't know what's going on, but Coach Hugh Jackson think that he can still relax. I'm like, I don't think so.
We're gonna let Coach Jackson slide. You know, we're gonna hold off on that at this point right now tonight. But hold on one second. Sorry, guys. Ms. Gibson has a concert going on in the background right now. I'm going to let her get back on for a minute. I know she's probably listening right now, but I have her on mute. But what we were saying a while ago, guys, we were just basically saying that the HBCU, the comment that Deion Sanders made, he wasn't aware of. I guess he was kind of heated up. So I think we have to give him a pass. No problem, because I like prime time. I like prime. But I would say that I love what he's doing for the universities. When I say universities, I would say all universities, what he's doing, giving exposure, what he's doing for the HBCUs, and giving that showcase. And I think that's going to have to be what he's done, what Coach Sanders has done, Coach Prime, sorry, he liked Coach Prime. What he's done, I would like to say that the other coaches, I'm sorry, guys, but you've got to step your game up. You've got to step your game up. I apologize. Sorry to say, be straight up, but my mom's that way. My mom will be straight up with you. One person, they be straight up with you, guess what? You're going to respect them. Because later down the road, you'll be like, you know what? I'm glad you told me the truth. I didn't like it, but you told me the truth.
Coach, hello.
Prime. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So Coach Prime, what he did, what he's done, he is making all coaches step their game up. And he is giving the everyone what coaches have been lacking, especially I say, I'm not saying the HBCU, I said all coaches. They love it, that energy, that drive. Now he can't watch everything as a coach, you know, but he's at least given that. I'm not saying he's a great coach. I don't know his game. I know he really paid attention to Jackson State, but when I see him and what he's doing, giving the players and staff and everyone opportunity to get out there and motivate each other, you can't expect anything else better than that. But at the same time, understand the tradition. What's that?
Well, I don't know if you noticed or not, but he's been coaching his sons since they were little boys. He grew up from Pop Warner. They came from Pop Warner. So Dion, he has his experience from his son growing up. And so one thing that he has learned how to do is how to communicate with them from all ages, all levels, because he came from that. I'm a Pop Warner mother. So my son was 8 years old when he started. But my nephew, who retired from USC, Lamont Hollenquist, Lamont and Rodney Pete were classmates. They were also roommates at USC. Well, Lamont has been playing football since he was like 6 or 7. So I'm a Pop Warner mom. And so when you come from that all the way up to this kid, high school and college, you're supposed to be that good. I mean, I may not have been a football coach, but I could have coached a football team if I wanted to. I mean, the coaches would even ask me, how do you get them to do this? How do you get them to do that? Because I know one time the coach wanted my son to snitch on a new player because he saw something. And so I left school. I was at Crenshaw High School. I left. I met at the school. I said, look, let me share this with you. You're not going to make him a snitch. He's on offense. I said, but this is what you're going to do. You're going to make the whole team run. And you run them until they get tired. And when they get tired, whoever did it is going to talk. Well, one of my sons, one of his closest friends, which was the quarterback, he was the one who saw it. Well, I already knew the answer. So the coach did that. Let me share some with you. Don started squealing. He was like, I did it. He said, how did you know he was going to talk? I said, because my son is the only one that likes to run. Levy was he'd been in track since he was probably 3 or 4 years old. So he was the only one on the team really like running. So that was like that's what I like. So I'm just saying I can coach. I can coach. We need to do a movie about me coaching the football team. So because I've been around it so long. Dion is so good because he's been around it. He came from it himself. He came from it. So he's supposed to be I don't like to do no comparison with Eddie Robinson, but he basically is doing with Jackson State what Eddie Robinson did the second year, because Eddie Robinson's first year he lost. He was a loser, but once you know what I'm saying? So
he's an up to date Eddie Robinson in a sense, right? And an up to date Eddie Robinson, of course. But this time, this day and time. So let me say this though. So that means that you go ahead and take the coaching job right now at Grambling, you're saying? You go ahead and do that.
Let me share some with you. If I was the coach at Grambling State University, they would not be losing. They'd be kicking everybody's behind.
Period.
That's right. That's right. They be kicking it because I know what to say to them. I'm telling you, they would be winning. I know they would.
Do you think the coach is grasping how HBCU works, or do you understand? You think at Gramercy University, and I'm gonna bring something up to this show about this next week. But just give me about, you know, like 2 minutes. What do you think about the coach right now? Do you understand HBCU, how it works in a sense of a college? When I say HBCU, it is different than any other college, period. You have to, and everybody I know that's listening to me, that went to HBCU, they'll tell you, yeah, it's different. And you have to be in it to understand it. And you're going to operate a ship. You need to know how it works on the ground and around you. But what's your, what do you think about? So I think, I don't know, did have grandma want to game
clueless. He is clueless. I'm telling you, he's clueless. And if he wasn't clueless, it would be different. And I have to say this. I pulled his credentials. He has been clueless everywhere he's gone. Even before he got the Grambling, he was clueless.
We'll talk about this. We'll talk about that. You know,
Let me say this,
Coach. You know, our show is about good stuff, right? It's about good stuff. Like,
this is good. This is positive.
So I think because I'm going to post a topic for the show next week, and I just feel that I think that he just needs some supporting staff around him, and I feel that maybe he can get everything back in where he needs to go. So we'll leave it at that, right? We'll leave it at that.
No.
If somebody told me to come golf with you,
you know what I would do? I would just sit in that little golf car and shut up. You know why? Because I don't know how to golf. Do not. I could get a putt, and I could get the ball. I've seen it enough, and I could get out there and swing and hit and act like I know what I'm doing. And every now and then, I might get a good one in, like Michael Jordan, loser. But I'm just saying. You see what I'm saying? So you got you. It's,
right.
It's like I don't know golf, so I would sit back and watch. But unfortunately, he's in a position. When I say he's clueless, and he is. And it's not the players' fault. And I said this, how dare you say you go pull the G off the helmet? That G does not represent the football team. It represents the whole school.
We're going to talk about that next show. So
why?
Okay.
We can't talk about that.
I want you to, Ms. Gilson, join the show next week. That's fine. No, because we're going to talk about it next week. I'm going to post a show. You guys say the same call tomorrow. I have to go to a tournament in North Carolina, but we'll talk about it. Okay, I'm going to post it probably tomorrow.
Okay.
But moving
on,
we're going to get to that show. But I was going to let me say this. This is what I say to you about the band. Let's get into the band.
Okay.
I myself give you guys the highest respect as an HBCU band. When HBCU bands, it's the beauty of it when, and I mentioned this earlier, I said I feel that every student, high school person, high school, should be a junior high, they should be in some type of organized event. They should be attending at a sports or even music, art. It should be mandatory. You look, I'm not the president, because I have everybody, every kid, they will be active. Every kid.
Right.
You're not going to be going to go to school and go home. Oh, no. You're going to be in some events, period. And I feel shameful for the parents not letting them do it. I say that. Say what you want to say about me. I don't care. I would say that. I feel like for you not having your kids in some type of activity, what are you thinking about? I mean, what planet are you living in? because you're not really the cognitive skills and everything for the future is going to be left out. It's not like it was back in the – everybody back in the day was doing something. There was
right.
Everybody was active in something. So we need to get that on track right now. That's what's wrong with the world today. But I would say this, especially in the United States, but I would say this is that I give you guys respect because, in fact, a lot of people don't know this. When we go into the game, let me say this first, the practice. When we go to – they don't usually do it right now. We used to go to have two-a-day practice. We'll get up in the morning at about 6 o'clock. The bell will be ringing at 5 o'clock because Robinson hit the bell, whatever, the cowbell. We get up. We go to practice. We're on the practice field at 6:30 and to about like 9 o'clock. We go breakfast, practice. Then we come back, and then we have a meeting, and then we go back, we rest, and we go back again in the evening. We run, then go back in the evening, go back to practice, and then we're done about like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, right? So we did that two-a-day for a whole week, almost a month. And the same thing you do in training camp. Now they don't do that no more. Training camp, now they have NFL training camp. They have freaking DJ, you know? But back in the day, we had that way, and then you go back. But we practice twice a day. But people don't know this. In the HBCU and I go to Grambling, you guys practice how many times a day?
We have morning practice. Of course, we have class. But during the camp, you have to be up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning because they like for you to go to breakfast before you come. So we got the morning, we go to lunch, we back to practice, we go to dinner, we back to practice. And if you are a choreographer or one of the drum majors or the section leaders, they have practice, they have meetings in practice because we're the ones who teach the choreography. So we're in practice when everybody else is probably asleep. If somebody comes to my room and needs help at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm captain, I got to get up and I have to help them and have them ready. Even with as much practice as the dancers had, everybody else would be resting on Saturday and Sunday. We had practice. The band
right.
had practice on Saturdays and Sundays, and that's why they'd be so perfect. Like, oh, my God, they go, oh, my God. That's why, because we're practicing when everybody else is sleeping. We are still practicing. No one practiced as much as the band, and I could say that honestly because I know I've been there, and I know what it's like to have to be practicing all the time. And stuff, and that's why the band is so pretty much like out. Well, they don't have you to say perfect, but when people sitting up in the bleachers and they looking at it, it's perfect to those people who are watching. But it's because of all of the practice. That's why. And in relationship to the football team look forward to that. I mean, at the end of practice, the football team is done with their evening practice. And they're at the cafeteria where everybody is waiting on the band to come from practice to come down past the cafeteria because that's the big hoo-ah. Every day the band is going to come down past the cafeteria, and that's still part of their practice. So even after they've been out there all their time practicing, they have to march from that field. You know how far away that is. They have to march from that
right.
field, come all the way down past the cafeteria, and back to the band room. And it's awesome. It really is.
So you guys are practicing, and that people need to know this, you guys are practicing three times a day. And you guys will hold a position. The band, and then the band, I'll sit with the dance line. I'm going to talk to the dance line in a minute. But the band, we would watch sometime, come back from practice, and they'll be in a position. They'd be with their leg of just standing there for, I know, for like 10 minutes. And then they switch legs.
That's right.
And I'm looking. And
right.
I thought that we had it. I'm like, these guys, I mean, military, this is military in a sense. You guys.
Right.
So these are things that I give a high respect. And let me tell you something, too. It was nothing like when you're out there, you know, practicing, you hear the band, or even when you guys are approaching the stadium. It is nothing like it. And I think every guy, a football player would say this, is nothing. The band is the spice in the food. And if you're cooking out there, guys,
yep.
you have no spice in your food, you ain't doing jack. You might as well be Yes, like, I don't know. Look, you got some spicy food. then you get a taste of Louisiana, right? Louisiana, Texas food.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So my thing is this is that I got to put Mississippi in that too. My bad. I won't get no trouble. Mississippi too. But I would say this is that that the band is the soul. That's the
right.
soul. You got to have it. I mean, that makes the spirit move. And
the band is the icing
on
the cake.
Yes, and you don't. If people are not talking enough about the appreciation of the band, and like I said, when I was playing on high school, we had a band in high school, and I said that earlier that it gave us the drive. It was good to hear the band. I think some of the high schools don't even have bands no more. They have cheerleaders. That's good, great to have that. The cheerleaders, they're doing all they can do to keep everything going. It's like a dance team, but it's not like a dance line. But the right. cheerleaders do their thing, dance line do their thing. But let me ask you a question. Right. So let me ask you a question. Were you part of the group that traveled? Well, how far did you guys travel when you was with Grambling State Band?
Oh, my God. Grambling has traveled worldwide. I was part of the second trip to Tokyo, Japan, because 3 years before I came, they had gone to Tokyo, but they've been to Africa, Egypt. You name it, they've been there. The very first Super Bowl, they performed the very first Super Bowl, and as a matter of fact, they were going to perform for that when they had that 50-year Super Bowl celebration, but. Grambling was having a change of presidents. Again, remember, we change president every other year, so that was an issue. So they mm-hmm. couldn't get straight. So that's why Grambling's band wasn't there. Doug was there with all the quarterbacks because they had all the quarterbacks and stuff who had been Super Bowl quarterbacks. And so, but anyway, but when we got back, we found out, of course, Grambling lost to Southern. And that was probably, I don't know, maybe the first or second time Grambling had lost the Bayou Classic, because every year Grambling won. But they were so, I had a couple of cousins on football team. They're like, man, we kept looking up in the stands. We kept looking, hoping, we were looking down the tunnel, hoping the band would show up. It was just so dead.
Oh,
they missed it. They missed it. And I believe that. Because the band, because the reporter from Channel 8 News even talked about that, I believe that was a lot of the energy that was lost with the team because the band wasn't there. We just couldn't make it back. We couldn't mm-hmm. and stuff. And so, mm-hmm. yes, the band is the team's inspiration. It really is. That's why at the end of a game, if you notice at the end of the game, whether the team win or lose, they're going to walk over where? In front of the band, where the bandstand is, and play the school song. That's just how it works. But, yes, we're that icing on the cake. The band is the icing on the cake for the football team. The football team mm-hmm. is the cake, and we're the icing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question then. Do you feel like some of the tradition should change in the band versus today? You think anything should be changed up? You see anything that's missing, in your opinion?
Well, the only thing that's missing is
Grambling. Grambling
band went through some stuff, like the football team is going through stuff, and so they realized they needed to fix that. The worst thing you can do is not hire your own people. That's ugly. So. The young lady that's the band director now, I'm so proud of her.
Why would
you not hire a Grambling alumni to be the coach of Grambling's football team? Why would you not hire a former band member to be the head band director of the World Fame Tiger Marching Band? That's a slap in the face. So now you got this new person coming with their new ideas, which are clueless, and their ideas may not work for the band. Case in point, when the new dance person came, and I'm not going to hammer on this because I handed it to her on a silver platter. I did. But I had my first gig already with Confunction. But when she came from ballet. And I'm saying you can't put ballet and pirouette on a field with a funk band. Grandma's a Gremlin is a funk. You know, you're talking get down, get funky, get loose, and you got the girls out there doing ballet. Well, yeah, the people go say they don't like it and they're gonna boo it, but you have others say, oh, but the technique is so great. Yeah, the technique is great, but it's not matching the music. There's no mm-hmm. match there. So when you do that, you have no understanding of what this school or this team needs because you were not there. You didn't pay your dues. Hire someone who was there, who have paid their dues, who have the experience, who understand. Do that before you just go and reach out and grab somebody else because, well, here in the NFL, we want an NFL person to compete with Dion, and I already told you, we already talked about that, but I'm just saying that's where you lose it. You lose that when you don't hire those people. That needs to change. That is one of the main parts need to change because when you hire a person who is not from there and they have to have a team of people, who you think they're going to bring in? They're not going to bring in Grambling alumni. They're going to bring in their people.
No, I totally agree with you.
Now you got a group of people who are clueless. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm listening to what you're saying. I feel that HBCU is different. How about that? I say that. It's different. You can't come in a nice with HBCU, the players. You can't come in there and patty cake them. And you have to. It's a combination of being nice and combination of two of being engaged, and you gotta move like the players. You have to move. I never forget I was with at the Jets, and I was with Pete Carroll came in, Coach Carroll, who's at Seattle Seahawks now. Coach Carroll, when we got there, I remember catching the ball and practicing and running the field. And I turned the side of me, I kind of like slowing down. And somebody tried to grab the ball in my hand. I've seen them defend on the one side, but it's a sideline running on the sideline. So nobody's supposed to be on the sideline trying to touch the ball. If you do, you know it's a flag anyway. It's Coach Carroll running down the sideline. You know, back in his, you know, he was running on the sideline. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, but he was so in the gauge with the players, and the players loved that. They just, you know. Unfortunately, you know, the Jets, you know, the owners, they wanted to make some changes. And change is not always a bad thing. Change can be good to certain people, you know, to whomever, you know. You never know how God works, but like that, right? But they wanted to make some different changes. And there was nothing wrong with that. So I guess so. But that's the type of player. That's how you have to be going to the HBCU. You can't sit back and be Nick Saban at Alabama. He just look at you, right?
Right.
It takes time to get into that, but you have to press. You have to. It's certain things you have to bring into HBCU to get to that point. You know, like Coach Roberts can. Well, Roberts will look at you and turn your head, and you might not even play the rest of the year. You might not play up again. You know, you missed the ball one or two times at Coach Roberts. That's it. You're not playing
anymore.
Right, and no
that's more, the tradition. You know? That's what I was talking about with the band. I'm telling you, these kids are clueless. We spoke to a group. I said, baby, let me share this with you. Conrad Hutchinson was nobody's joke. He didn't just have in second line. He had A, B, C, and D. And if you were not a D, the rest of them wasn't even on the field. The ones who were not on the field were on their knees waiting for somebody to mess up. And he was so cold with it. Soon as let's say a horn messed up, it would be three or four guys running to get to that position on the field. And the first one that gets there wins because all of them are great. His A, B, C, or D, they were all great. It was just based on freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. So it wasn't none of this, well, we're going to play the seniors so the Scots can come and look at them and blah, 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 blah. No, he was like, may the best man win, but you had to get to that spot in a hurry. That's why I was saying with the dance team, when he told Virgie, he said, Deborah Gibson cannot be on the end because my drum line don't get any pictures when she's on the end. She has to be on that 50-yard line or somewhere 45, 50. So I was on the 50-yard line from my freshman year to my senior year. And so, but it wasn't just that either. It was because I was good And well, some people would say, great. My mother have a word she used. She's like, my daughter is awesome. But I'm just saying, I wasn't there because I wasn't as great as I was. But all of us are great. If that original team, if you weren't great, if you missed a step, you were gone, and you had to go back and reprove yourself. The band was the same way. Mr. Hutchinson was not going to leave a person out there just because, well, he's a senior. We're trying to get him a chance. I'm like, are you kidding me? This senior keeps dropping the balls. This senior keeps fumbling the ball. This senior keeps, are you kidding me? So I can't get with that. I cannot.
Right.
Either you're great or you're not. If you're not great, go over there and sit down or stand on the sideline, but get away from me, and you can't give me one, give me one too much. I can post the pink trust me.
Oh, my God. You're off the chain.
They'll be winning. You better know they'll be winning.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Now that tradition need to be engaged today. That needs to be engaged today. That tradition, and I think I would say what Dion was saying. I think he's learning in a positive way how HBCU worked. But I think he was just, what do you think? I think he was just heated up at the time, and he just kind of flew off the handle.
I don't mean to cut you off, but that I don't care how heated I get. I am not going to call you out your name. I hate that. Because you don't know what this is. It's like when I read it, I was shocked. That's why I said, okay, man of God, you're out here calling people names. Don't you ever call us pathetic again, ever. If you ever call Grambling State University fans and alumni, any name other than fans and alumni, sisters and brothers, you ever call us out our name again, I have something I'm going to call you and you're not going to like it. Don't do that name calling. It's just ugly. It is. I don't care how heated I may get. It was a lot of names I wanted to call.
Well, hold on one second. Let me say this. And I'm glad you mentioned that, but that's just the brand, and that is the no-no that an HBCU's. That's a code that you don't cross.
Hello.
And that's the difference between an HBCU and other people don't know that. You cannot go around and talk publicly negative about any other HBCU because
you have to work
20 times hard to get to wherever you got to go. When you get out the door, it's still you're still hustling and still working, right? So it's not
That's
the
right.
same. So that right there, what he said right there, I think it's deeper than what we're talking about. I'm just trying to just put a little gravy on it and make it okay in a sense. But I know it's not okay.
No,
because
put no gravy
deeper.
On it. I talk about this all the time. Men have a different – you guys have a different loyalty. You guys have a different loyalty toward each other than women. It's like you guys do that. But women, we don't have that same loyalty that men have. And I could say that because I grew up kind of roughneck, you know, and my brothers and my cousins, they always, I love y'all loyalty. I really, really do. The women don't have that loyalty. Let one of them say something bad about me and see don't I plaster her. See, we got social media now. Back in the day, we didn't have social media. Say something loud. That thing that like Dion said, oh, Grambling's fat. They're so pathetic. I was trying to be nice, and I'm going to be nice this time, but do it again.
Right.
Do it again because
right.
I know how to get the media involved, and you know that. You've seen me work. You know I know how to get the media involved. I'm like, boo-boo, you don't want to do that.
But understandably, too, I think as players, as a football player, having the band there, and having some hiccups in the band that we're not going to really you want to say anything about the band that's off track that you think of right now? You said something about the dance team, about the ballet. Anything else that you would like to discuss on that?
Yes, I would. Well, What I like to say that I like about what Dion has done with the band from the very first commercial that he did when he became coach at Jackson State, he included the band. You'll see the band is always there with him, not the whole band, because with commercials you can't, you know, unless they involve in the whole band. But every commercial, watch, every commercial, that Affleck, the Affleck commercial, he has the dancers, he has several of the dancers, the drum major, several of the band. He always, he's given the band that publicity. I love that. I really, really do. I like the fact that other bands are now being seen, because when you think about it, back in the day, the band that you saw more than anything was World Famed Tiger Marching Band. You saw the Coca-Cola commercial really flushed us into the huge public eye, and just all kind of commercials, one after another after another. But what I do like to say concerning the band, I love it when the HBCU bands hired their own. It is such a huge disgust, disappointment, and to me a disrespect when you have these people who pay their dues, and especially the ones who are there all 4 years, and they apply for these jobs, and they go and hire someone from somewhere else who is completely clueless. And I say the same thing with the football team. Because like I said, if you're hired as the head coach at Grambling. Well, let me just go back. Anthony is old. Your oldest brother is hired at Grambling State University. Well, quite natural, he's going to reach out to guys that he played with. And he should. He should.
That's
because these guys,
yeah.
Right. And they know how to win. These are people he's played with them. They know how to win. Same thing with me. If I had Grambling can't afford me now, once upon a time they could, but they can't now. But if I went back to Grambling to take the dance company, trust me, they would have had their own TV show. They would have been in everybody's commercial. They would have been in everybody's music video, because that's just me. That's how I do. But that's me. Everybody ain't me. But I'm just saying, when you say your family, then act like it when you get the job, when you get the head position. If we're your fam, then act like it. Don't go and hire your frat brother from Louisiana Tech and your sorority sister from Georgia State and bring them to Grambling and expect them to love on Grambling family. They're not going to do it. They're not.
No, it's,
and
you know, it's
enough for money. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You saying do what now? No. We'll leave that for the next show. For the next show. So I think the thing I totally agree with you in a lot of things you said. Like I said, I give credit to the exposure that Deion Sanders is giving Jackson State. I'm not going to say, I said HBCUs are filtered behind it, underneath it. Yes, they do. But given the exposure of Jackson State, and I said, I mentioned this about 2 years ago, a year ago, on the radio show a year ago. I said, by having Coach Sanders, Coach Prime there, I said, one thing about it, they will get the exposure, and you see guys in a better shot at the draft, because he's going to bring in some things, especially on the football level, that a lot of people may not know, the different techniques. Feet work, footwork, the same thing as you're doing with dancing, right? You can see a young lady cut a step, and you'd be like, what is taking her so long to do that spin or cross over with her feet? What is she doing? Why are her hands out of position? Right. What is she doing? It's the same thing. We could see as professional sport athletes, you could see a kid run a route. And you run his route, you can one time be like, see if he's ready or not. Now, he may be running around, get to catch a ball, or you can watch anybody on that football field make a move and be like, no, they're not getting the right coaching. Because a lot of times you get to the NFL, go to the next level, like you're saying, you're going to all these places around the world that Grambling has traveled and performed in front of dignitaries. You can't be out there messing up. You got to be right.
Nope.
And you got to look like a professional.
That's right.
And when you
That's
go to
right.
the next level, at the end of the day, Grambling, and I'm going to say this too, when you got guys being drafted from the HBCUs, there were just as many guys getting drafted back then as they are today. But those guys back in the day were no joke. With no joke.
Exactly.
And they put in the, they put in the work. They did. It wasn't no. It wasn't. It was no time off. Like you guys said. Well, okay. You guys worked as long as you had the energy. You were performing. You was practicing, getting your stuff right. You was practicing to for a greater stage. You didn't know when to quit. But unfortunately, these days, you have, you know, the coaches going to have to put on the pressure harder than what they have before to get these, to get them to perform like they, to get the work ethic. But that's why they have a draft, and that's why they have some of the players go to the next level. That's when there's a draft when you go in your job, right? There's a draft when you go to an audition for choreography for you supposed to dance on the dance team, right? So there's a draft. It's always a draft all the time. Somebody getting doggone drafted. So when you be lazy and not performing, were you in the band or the football team or anything, you your position in school, whatever, that's always a draft. And guess what? The draft has gotten larger now because there's people all across the world right now waiting for your position. And But it's none like this, though. It's none like being a coach that you can brag on that came from your university, got drafted either. Now, that should be the best feeling in the world. And if you're coaching and you don't have that feeling, you don't need to be coaching at all.
Right.
You know, you don't need to be coaching. So you need to be going back in the woods somewhere, pick up some worms and go fishing. That's what you need to be doing, because you don't need to be coaching if you don't have that drive and that energy for those – and that's teaching. That go across the board, whatever you're doing. Let me ask you one other question before I let you go.
Okay.
Girl, the history that you have is amazing. I absolutely love it. I feel that what you have, I feel that we have to, the HBCUs, not even just HBCUs, people around the world, the being the choreographer and stuff like you have, they need to, how can you have you ever things set up yet, or you don't want to be bothered with folk right now? You just work on some other stuff. Do you have a place where they can reach out to you?
They can reach me, though, but don't ask me. I had one of my classmates talking about, well, Deborah Gibson, you got to give back. I said, no, I don't have to give back. I said, when I was at Grammy, he's so funny. Let me say he was an Omega. I was given while I was there. When I was a student, I'm working like a Hebrew slave. I was the cheerleader coach, and I was choreographer for the dance team and the cheerleaders for Grambling High School. So I was giving then. Then after I graduated, I still would go back. I would go back and do choreography for the young ladies and stuff. I would go back when I was going to visit my mom or whatever. I would go back and I would do that. But let me just say this to you. Your mother said some things to me, and even in the fourth grade, because she was always so encouraging. She really was. I loved your mom. She was my favorite teacher.
I mean,
your mom was my favorite teacher. She was. She and Miss Douglas. That was Dean Higgins' mom. Miss Douglas is my first grade teacher. But your mom and Miss Douglas, oh my God. But I'm just saying, I remember once she said to me, she said, listen, I am not surprised or shocked that it's you. She said, I know your family. She said, I know your family's history. She said, I know your background. She said, I know you come from good stock. She said, and I'm glad it's you. And she hugged me. And it was so encouraging. It was so encouraging because to me, I was thinking, I'm just getting beat down, but she let me know that people were noticing. I remember even once Eddie Robinson said, he said, is Virgie seeing you, young lady? You sure getting kind of skinny? I'm like, dang, he's paying attention. You know, so people was paying attention because I was always busy. And that was just, I never forgot that, and I hope I never will. And it was just such an awesome moment for me. and she hugged me. And when we walked out the bathroom holding hands with each other, you know, your brother had a funny look on his face. But my sister said, "What y'all sure was in the bathroom for a long time?" We were new. I said, and I was crying. She didn't know I was crying. But you guys'
right.
mother was, I mean, the encouragement was just beautiful. It was. So I'm just saying, I hope that the university get back to the place where we embrace our own, because no one is going to do it for you better than your own. That's just my belief. Mm-hmm. That's my belief in that. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I've always given to the young ladies. Anytime I passed through and stopped at the school, and I ran some choreography by them, and then I was gone. And I never charged them. Never. Mm-hmm. I mean, this young lady's up there right now. They'd be like, "Oh, the legend is here, the legend." I'm like, "Don't call me that." So it's just an awesome mm-hmm. feeling that you paid your dues. But you guys are not getting that in the football team. I mean, let me just say that. That's not happening in the football team. And I just think that it's hurtful. And people think that it doesn't mentally bother a person, but it does. But it does, because the whole thing with the losses and all this stuff, they're not happy. And when you're not happy, you don't do your best. You'll get out there, but you're not doing your best.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, it's that part of the history, tradition, that doesn't need to change. That needs to get back to where it used to be, right? That needs to get back to where it used to
be.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Somebody was you talking to me?
I think they
need to let me coach the team for 1 year.
Mhm. Yeah,
Let me say this.
I said it before 1,000 times. My mom could coach a football team because she understood and knew how it worked, right? And that was it. She knew and
that's
she could
right.
see things. You got to observe. You got to sit back and observe.
That's right.
When you be
that's
quiet
right.
and watch and pay attention, you take notes and observe. And
that's right.
You have to give, and knowing this too, when you make a decision, there's guys out there, young ladies, that want the opportunity also. And they're waiting in line. And if the next person does not want to feel like they want to be in that position, move them out the way and let the other person take over that position. It's just
that's
that
right.
simple. And that's the way life has to be. And you can't, lend people buy time. You have to,
right.
because it'll come back and it'll get you down the road if you don't start treating people in that perspective, especially when you have when you're supposed to be a chief in a sense, right? You're supposed to be a chief.
Right.
You're supposed to. You're given that position for a reason.
Right.
And you have to, and that goes along, if you can listen, that goes along for you guys too. When you're a chief, you're the boss, you have to sit back and pay attention, observe, and keep people in spot, in places and spots so they can win, to help you win, to get where you have to go. And when you don't do that, it's
right.
not going to work. I don't care what you're doing,
it's not
going to work. And
no,
I see that. I see what's going on up there. I can see. I've heard things with the removal of the helmet. I see things going with the. But when you have things going at universities, you have to keep motivating, and we're gonna keep pushing. We're gonna get grounding back on track.
Right.
And I know there's guys right now too that's out there spreading the word and to get grounding on track in a positive way. So I thank God for those guys too and young ladies like yourself, that because we care for our university and we want the students there, just not there and around the world, to have the same drive and motivation for their universities and just for people in general. It's the largest, greatest
right.
stage in what we're talking about tonight. It's the greatest stage. And what we're saying, when we say something like this, guys, you're listening, don't ever forget this. Someone could be going through something.
Right.
And what they're going through is God maybe put them in position to handle it, but also to put you in position to witness it. So you get more heat by looking at it, what they go through, than what they're actually going through. So I'm going to say it again. So you have to, God put people in position sometime for you to see what's going on, so it opens your eyes up to, in a positive way, to get things in order.
Right.
So we're talking about this, guys, this just might go to this, we're talking about university, but it goes to everyone out here that's listening. But again, I would say, I would thank you for what you've done, your accomplishment, and thank God for it. I was blessed to have a mom. My dad's still living. My dad is actually 70, almost, he's like 77, I think 77 years old, 78. But my dad is always like 75 years old. Every year he's still saying 75. He never gets older than 75 years old. But I would say that
I gotta go see him the next time I'm here. I gotta go see him.
Yeah, go see. I would say my mom. I was blessed to have a mom like that. My mom, guys, was straight up. She didn't.
Yes,
she didn't go to the mailbox with rollers in her hair. Okay, she was a classy lady. she was a classy lady, and I think I'm glad that you had her. And she used to brag on all her students about that they was on the honor roll, even though I wasn't on the roll, but all us two was on the honor roll. But again, I'm thank you for sharing that, and I'm glad that we've got a chance to get on this topic. About Deion Sanders' tradition of saying that grounding is the people leaving the stands are pathetic.
Yeah.
And I think if he listens to the show, if he gets a chance to listen to it, he'll understand it and understand that you have to, when you say something about an HBCU, you got to be real careful this story, but you have a code when you go to HBCU. There's certain things you know not to say.
I would say that, and then too,
when you have that code goes across the world too. You get certain things you just can't say at that time. You must say it after, you know, but not.
Right.
But again,
right.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm gonna do a show. I'm going to back off on – no, I'm not going to back off. We're going to go into another topic then another week, possibly going about the removal of our Grambling State University, the football team. The Grambling stickers on the helmets were removed.
One question, please. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I can.
Because you brought up Pete Carroll. Well, remember I told you my nephew retired. He when I would go and visit my nephew and take him goodies or money or whatever, Pete Carroll said, TC said, you know that's your sugar mama. And it's no way you got a woman that's good looking coming to visit. I said, no, I'm not. He said, if that's your story and you and Lamont want to stick to it, we'll be all right with it.
He's a great guy. I'm glad I got a chance to play up on him. I really did. Yeah, and I'm glad he's doing well now still too with Seattle, with those guys out there too. But I would say this too. Seattle Seahawks. I would like to say again, thank you for coming in to the show.
You're welcome.
I really do appreciate it. And
we need to talk about when you got selected to go to the Hawaiian or the Hula Bowl, whatever it's called, on the next show. We need to talk about that.
Well, you know what? I don't want people to know me. I don't like to talk about. See, I like to talk about everybody else, right? So that's what we have to do. But we can.
Let me talk about it.
I think the thing is. We'll talk about the Hula Bowl. You know what? We can't talk about the Hula Bowl because there were some things, guys, that happened in the Hula Bowl I think the whole world needs to hear about.
Come on.
You might not like you might not like me, like what I'm going to say about it, bringing it up.
Okay.
But it was not a – Coach Robinson was – well, actually, Coach Robinson and I were at the Hula Bowl, and Coach Robinson was the coach.
That's right.
And there are some things that was going on at the Hula Bowl, because we're the only HBCU team in a sense. Because now I have my Grambling helmet on, but I'm kind of graduated out of Grambling, going on to the next level, which is professional. But there are some things going on there in Hawaii.
Let me
think about it. No, I'm gonna talk about it because let me talk about it because it's very, very deep. Let me see. I'm gonna tread the water with this one, okay? But I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, and
thank you.
And you're fantastic. And we're gonna have to we're gonna get back on the show next week about the removal of the G, and on the Grambling State University football team, and that G, what it represents, and you all know that, and And it represents Grambling alumni and everyone that even went to Grambling for like a year, whatever. It represents more than just on that helmet.
Right.
So we'll get into that. And again, I appreciate you, all the things you've done and things you're doing. You're a wonderful person. And
thank you.
I really enjoyed it. All right. And we'll talk. Miss Deborah Gibson. You want to say anything else where they can find you at, or not? The rest book. You want to find, they can find you on Instagram.
My Instagram is, oh my God. It's, I don't know why people can't find me on Instagram, because everything, all my social media is Deborah Gibson Westbrook. It's either going to be Deborah Gibson dash, they need to do dash, Deborah Gibson dash Westbrook, or it's Deborah GSU82 Gibson. My grandsons Googled Deborah and Grambling, and it took them to my page. They're like, Granny, we found you. We only put Deborah and they found me, but it's Deborah Gibson dash Westbrook. I'm easy to find, and they can contact me by any of the pages. My email is there. There's a phone number. There's a number where they can reach me and reach out to me. I am on Instagram. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. Yeah.
And also too, I want to hear about your time when you were out there with helping Chuck Norris. We'll talk about that briefly. Why don't you come back on and talk about that, Chuck Norris? Like I said again, hey, I love it. Again, Ms. Gibson, thank you so much, and it's wonderful sharing out the knowledge, the history, and it was beautiful. So. Hey, listen, enjoy your night.
Tell my dad I said hi. Tell dad I said hi when you talk to him. Tell him I said hi.
Okay. I will. I will for sure. All right. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Guys, if you don't know anything about Grambling right now, you know now. You know now, especially when it comes to the band and the football, the band and football. You know a lot right now. I mean, she was wonderful. Breaking things down about the history of the HBCU. It was awesome having her come in, showing up, having the time to show up. She's a busy lady, but having time to show up to discuss that. Like I said, at the end of the day, we talked about Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. We love the fact that he's given the motivation and the energy at Jackson State University. And for all your other coaches, you have to step your game up. You're behind years. And one thing may say tradition. Yeah, you got to get it going. Because, you know, I'm sorry about talking streetwise about that. But, yeah, I'm going to say it again. You have to get it going. Because you're light years behind when it comes to Coach Prime. With his coaching, is the energy that he's bringing to the HBCU. And just coaching staffs, period. And I will say I witnessed that a little bit for a year when Coach Carroll came in with the Jets. He has some energy like that, and he still does today, I'm quite sure, over at Seattle Seahawks. Thanks again, guys, for listening to the show. And again, in the future, guys, if you want to call in live, you can call in as a participant at 563 888-999-3665. Usually I do my shows from an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, depending. Again, you can call in live at 563-999-3665. And like I said, I can also be reached, too, at www.blogtalkradio.com/Stevie Anderson Radio. This is the 90th show. Okay. I had a guy call me today and said, man, I didn't even know you was on a radio show. I said, yeah, man, I've been out here talking and giving words of wisdom, best I can do it, and motivation to people around the world. That's what we have to do. Also, too, the music you guys will hear on the way out, that is Shannon Maria Holtz. You can reach Shannon Maria Holtz on Instagram. Also, too, you can reach Shani Facebook. And also, too, Shani, you can, with Shani, she's actually an artist. She's open for bookings, et cetera. She's an amazing young lady, very, very talented. And she can work up a crowd, trust me, she can do it. That Shani Real Holtz. And Shani was actually really on the drum line at Grambling State University. Shani is a relative of mine. You can't beat her. Her mom is a great singer herself. So you reach down there, you see what she got there singing from. Also, two guys I'd like to say for myself, you reach me at Stevie Anderson, 3713 on Instagram. And, of course, I'm on Facebook, and that's, again, the Blog Talk Radio. Next, we're going to get into next show. We're going to get into probably the removal of the G that's on the Grambling State football team. Why was that done? Was it a good thing or bad thing by the coach pushing that agenda, in a sense? Okay? So, guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we'll see you next week. Good night.